All right. Thank you for being here this morning. Does that sound good, Oscar? Is that good? Are we okay? Can you hear well? Well, as long as I can hear myself, it doesn't matter, right? Okay, we're going to look at 1 Samuel here in chapter number 15. We've been, sometimes I do series on purpose, and other times they just kind of happen. The last few weeks, there's a couple weeks I haven't, we've looked at some things about understanding spirituality, different aspects about spirituality, and I want to look at it again this morning, and I want to look at something, and I think it'll help us if we do. Sometimes you can see something, and it's either, you see it either one way or another way, and it can be either good or bad, depending on what you see. And sometimes we're fooled by what we see. Remember about, probably it must have been at least 20 years ago, coming home on a Friday. We work half a day on Friday, and after staff meeting, I wasn't the pastor then. I came home, and I think Jessica was with me. She may have been in high school, maybe college, and I think Hannah was with me. And so we're going home, and it's like, I'll stop and get them something to eat. So we stopped at Chipotle over by the college. So we got our food, and we're going to sit down. I notice a college guy and a couple girls eating by us. You know, they're talking, just having a good time or whatever. And so I sit down with my girls. A couple minutes later, I hear this weird sound. I look up, and here comes the college guy right at me. And he's got his arms out. He's like going, arr, arr, arr. And I'm sitting down. I'm thinking, this guy's being a punk. He's probably, you know, messing around, and I'm like, I better get up, okay? If he's coming at me, I'm not gonna get caught sitting down. So I jumped up, and I start walking towards him, and he's walking towards me, and he goes, and he stops. And he goes, and he goes, I'm sorry, I was choking. I'm thinking, well, okay, you might wanna say, the girls might wanna say something. I thought the guy wanted to fight. And he spits this piece of food out of his mouth. I don't know why he was walking to me. I would have had no clue what to do, okay? Pray over him while he dies and we do your funeral. I don't know. But I was misinformed as to what was going on with him. Do you know there's some concepts we see, some characteristics that sometimes we put a good spin on, but sometimes they're really bad. Think about submission, right? Submission is a biblical principle. We should be submissive to the Lord. Amen. But do you know submission can be a bad principle? We submit to the world. We submit to that which is wrong. Think about commitment. Someone says, you can be really successful in life if you're just committed. Is that true? No. Do you know evil people are committed? But they're committed to the wrong things. So if you're committed to the Lord, it's a good thing. But if you're committed to that which is wrong, it's not. But here's the one I want to hone in on. Rebellion. You know, rebellion can be good. If we rebel against everything our society in this world tells us that we're supposed to be a part of, that's a good thing. But if we rebel against the commandments of the Lord and what he tells us, that is a bad thing. And we're going to see a story today of somebody that took rebellion the wrong way. We know the story of Saul. Keep your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want you to look down in verse number 22. Here's what happened. Saul was disobedient and he gets busted for it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you look at verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This was not good for him. You see, God had given him a command. He said, I want you to go and I want you to obliterate the Amalekites. The Amalekites had been the enemies of Israel. They had caused all kinds of issues. And as they're now in the land, and as they now have their first king, they're one of their enemies, and they're going to battle. And he's like, I want you to take everything out, decimate their king, kill the soldiers, get rid of all of them. Don't take anything of theirs for yourself. You know, because usually when you win a battle, you get to take their stuff for yourself. God said, that's not what this battle is about. You're going to obliterate, get rid of everything. So what happens? He goes down and he does not completely obliterate everything. And so Samuel knows he's coming back. He goes to meet him. By the way, if you're a Christian, that'll happen in your life sometimes. You get caught up and some things are going on, and almost accidentally God will send something or someone in your way to kind of get you to think about what's going on. And so here's Samuel, and he comes back, and Saul, in essence, says, hey, everything went well. We did what God told us to do. Now, God said, don't bring back any of their stuff, their possessions, their animals. Don't bring back any of it. And it's almost as if as soon as Saul says that, Samuel hears this in the background. Bah, whatever a sheep make, you know. Like, ruff, ruff. I don't know what they do. They're making animal sounds. And it's like, Samuel's like, seriously? I can hear the animals. You didn't get rid of everything. That's rebellion. And that's how we got to the verses there that we read, where God says, you know what? You didn't listen. You really rebelled against me. And so now you're not going to be the king. After you're done, your children aren't going to take over. The kingdom is not going to run through you. I've already found somebody else who's going to take your place. Now, we sometimes look at rebellion and think of it as a good thing. That, by the way, that's kind of the American way, right? We don't do good when we're told what to do. Well, that's okay if we're being told what to do that's wrong. But there's no place for that if what we're being told to do is right. Here was God's view of the situation, and we read it. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Think about that for a minute. Witchcraft. For lack of a better term, you could say Satanism. Yep. Demonism. Amen. Say, wow, rebellion really is? Yeah, because witchcraft and Satanism is basically boils down to this phrase. It's when you are the god of your life and you decide what is right and wrong. And that's what he did. He said it's witchcraft and stubbornness. Stubbornness, willingly choosing to do what I know that I was told not to do. Amen. Right? By the way, your children will exhibit that when they're growing up. They're going to be stuck. But how do you do that? You discipline them. You train them. You don't let them get away with it. But it doesn't work when you're an adult. God doesn't want you to be stubborn to that point. He also says it's like iniquity and idolatry. Idolatry is really when you worship anything or put anything ahead of God. And here, I think he was putting himself ahead of God. This is what I want. Ties into witchcraft. He just rejected it. And God rejected him. He said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The word reject means to despise, which causes me to refuse to obey. Oh, I just made a decision. No, you despise what God said was right. All of those, if you think about it now think about this. We're talking about rebellion. Those are heavy things. Those aren't something to take lightly. Amen. See, that's how God sees it. But how did it start? When Saul lost all of this, it started with his rebellion. Society, we put a positive spin on rebellion, right? Question any authority. And I'm not saying just blindly accept authority. But when they're saying authority, what they're basically saying is just go against whatever authority tells you, even if they're right. That's really where we're at. You look at our school systems. You can't tell the children. You say, why is it they're not learning anything? Why is it they don't know the basics? Why is it just problem after problem? Because they're not made to listen. Now, I grew up, I'm a little older. I'm not old, I'm older. Big difference there. Third grade, here, Dominguez Elementary School on Santa Fe. Third grade, Mr. Selznick. If we didn't listen, he gave us a SWAT in front of the class. Say, how do you know? The class knew me very well. We'd come in after lunch and he'd call names out, and at least weekly, my name was up on the board. It's like, come on up. Whap. Say, did that bother you? You want a lawsuit? No, I knew I deserved it, and I was thankful for the days he didn't catch me. But guess what? When we were in class and Mr. Selznick spoke, we listened. Because we were there was something on the line. Well, you know, rebellion, it's just being your own person. Well, okay, do we want to be our own person? Because I don't know about you, but I know me sometimes, my own person doesn't want to do the right thing. Are you with me? And don't look at me. You don't have halos. You got horns just like the rest of us. Do your own thing. Live your own life. No, that's not what God wants. God views it differently. And now, I want to talk a little bit about rebellion in the few minutes we have, but understand this. Don't tune me out because you're not a rebel. I don't think, well, a crowd this size, there's probably one or two. I don't think most of you are rebels. You wouldn't even be here, right? But it's like wisdom. God talks about fools. A fool is one who despises and ignores God's principles. I don't think we're fools in here, but there might be areas or situations where we step into foolishness in that situation. You understand what I mean? So that we may not be rebels, but there may be situations or instances or in our life where in that moment or in that situation, we can step into rebellion. And so think of it that way as we go through this. But let me just say before we move on, don't ever put a positive spin on being rebellion. There is absolutely no place for rebellion against God and His Word. And you know, it is seeping into Christianity. We want to be cool. We feel more at home with people that don't know God than we do with people that know God. Something's wrong. And I'm not saying that to condemn people that don't know God, because our goal is to love them and encourage them and bring them to Christ. I'm glad someone did that to me. But what I'm saying is, I just don't get along with God's people, but boy, the people that know God, we get along well. That should say something. That didn't go over very well. Well, you know, I'm just trying to be loving. You can be loving. I love my kids, but that doesn't mean I'm going to let them do whatever they want. Well, what about grace? I'm thankful for grace, because those times I step into rebellion and I step back, I'm thankful that God's grace is there to forgive me. But I'm not going to say, hey, should I rebel against God? Yeah, I got God's grace. Let's go. You notice the difference there. So how can we avoid spiritual rebellion? Let me give you a couple thoughts briefly, because I can see the clock. Not like Brother Treber that couldn't. Number one, reject defiance. Reject defiance. Look at verse number 8. Saul goes there. Verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. By the way, I have a message coming up about the Amalekites, and they were not good people. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Time out. That was a standing thing. I got the king, and I'm bringing him in. I conquered them. You know what God said? God said, he's the first to go. Get rid of all of them. This isn't about you and a status symbol about how strong our army is. It's about listening to me. So what is defiance? Defiance is when we don't obey what we know God had said. He knew that God had told them, don't bring him, get rid of him. That's defiance. That's rebellion. So what is rebellion? At its core, rebellion is an obedience problem. That's why God said in verse 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, because Saul went into this spin. Hey, these animals we brought, you know, they're not bringing them there for financial gain. We'll sacrifice the best of them to the Lord. It's like, yeah, okay, that's like saying, if I win the lotto, I'll buy you a new church. Well, the church is already built, okay, so we don't need that money. Boy, that didn't go over very well either. I'm batting zero today. I'm talking to myself. But that's not what God wants. God wants obedience. Amen. Well, I can give God more if I'm disobedient. He doesn't want it. Yep. He wants you, and he wants you to be obedient. And when we're not obedient, it's because we're saying, I know God has said that, but I'm going to do what I want to do. That's defiance. Let's not be defiant in any single way. Let me read a verse to you from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 27. This is God's desire. Here it is. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. It's like God is lamenting and he's saying, what I really want for you, I wish you had a heart to just do what I want you to do. And then God gives a flip, because it's best for you. Things, I want good for you. Amen. And when we're defiant and we do our own things, it's not best for us. He may have thought that was the best thing for him, but he lost the kingdom. His children paid. And he had this thing with David going on forever and forever. Amen. The problem with a lot of us, we know a lot more of the Bible, and I'm in this group too, don't get me wrong. We know a lot more of the Bible than we obey. Amen. Right? I told a story about a pastor one time. He got up. He was a new pastor. He came in. He preached in the church. And that Sunday, he preached a message. And they really liked it. The next week, he came back. And it was his turn to preach. He got up. Same text. Same message. And people thought, okay, you know, maybe he's just confused. We'll cut some slack. Then the third week, he came back. And he preached the same message again. Finally, as people were leaving, they started asking him, why do you keep preaching the same message? He said, as soon as you start living that one, we'll move on to the next one. Okay? We need to start. It's not that we don't know. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you don't know a lot. I understand that. But a lot of us, we know this stuff. Now it's just a matter of, hey, are we going to listen? Are we going to be defiant? And defiance is never good. Number two, reject compromise. Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag. And, okay, here we go. The best, see that word there? Best of the sheep. And of the oxen, of the fatlings, of the lambs. All that was good. And would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. See how they're picking and choosing there? Yeah. Hey, we're going to do everything God said. This is good, though. Set that one to the side. Hey, we're going to, that's awful. Let's get rid of, this is good. This is best. Let's put that one to the side. Now, if he knew it was wrong, why did he do it? We compromise when we decide that it's okay to disobey God's commands and we know they are right. We typically are going to do it for self-gain. See, that's how we talk ourselves into it. Well, I think this is best for me. I know God, I've heard people say this over the years, not recently, thankfully, but they'll start to do something, get involved in something, and they'll say, now I know necessarily, they may word it different. I know that this is not necessarily what God wants, but in this, I just think this would be best. Now, I don't know about you, I do know one thing about myself. I am nowhere near as wise or smart as God. Amen. And when I say nowhere near, I mean like, you know, as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to trust him. Yep. I may look at something and think, this is best. And then it turns out to be a train wreck. Amen. If we would have just took God's word on it, it would have been okay. Yeah. But we're really good at compromise. We find ways to make it okay to just say, I know this is wrong, but I think this is best, and it'll be okay if I just do it anyhow. That's called compromise. We want to pick and choose, right? You know what? I'll come to church, but my reading the Bible, that's too hard. I'll serve every now and then, but boy, they want me to give. I can't do that. I got my Jesus bumper sticker. And I've seen you drive. That's a really bad idea. Okay? That's why I don't have one on my car. Someone wanted to give away, I love Pacific Baptist bumper stickers. I'm like, no, no, no. Let's put somebody else's church name on there because I've seen you drive. You know, why don't we get one that says, I worship Satan. So when you cut them off, they'll say, yep, that's true. We want the Jesus bumper sticker, but do we want the Jesus lifestyle? We'll listen. But will we ever share it? And you could just go on and on and on. It's so easy for us to look at something and we know it's not right and to find an excuse because we think it's right or because we want it. And so we think of a way to just in our mind put the pieces together and make it seem right. And let me say this before we move on. You can choose what you obey, but you cannot choose the consequences of that decision.
Right.
Number three, let's reject confusion. Okay? Verse 13, I don't even get this. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, it always starts out spiritual, blessed be thou of the Lord. Here comes a prophet. And what he's saying is, Saul, Samuel, it's all good. And then listen to what he says, and he knows it's not true. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. No, he didn't. The scary part is, and the thing that's confusing about it is, he knew he didn't. And he still said that he did. Now, can I just say something? We may be defiant every now and then. We may compromise, and I'm not saying you should, by the way. But when you get to this part, when you get confusion, you're stepping into spiritually dangerous ground.
Amen.
When you can knowingly take something you knowingly know, duh. You can knowingly say something is right from God, with God, and you know it's wrong, and you still say that, that's dangerous ground. It's one thing if we do something and we look at ourselves like, why did I react like that? Why did I say that in this situation? Why did I get upset? I know I shouldn't have done. That's okay. You can move past that. But when you do it and say, no, this is of God, and you know it's wrong, that's confusion. And it's just not right. Confusion comes when we start to believe that partial obedience is okay and it's complete obedience. And by the way, that is where our world is at. We live in a day when Christianity will accept. What we're doing is this, and please, if you don't understand it, that's fine. What we're doing is this. Churches are looking outside the walls to what society is doing and what they can do to bring that into the church because people will like it, and it's cool, and I enjoy it, and maybe more people will come.
Amen. Amen.
You know what we're doing? We're saying, I know it's wrong. I know that it's not right. I know that it's not honoring to God. And I'm going to bring it into the church anyhow, and I'm going to convince myself that it is right.
Amen.
And I could give you example after example. Churches now, when our music in our church, and you say, Pastor, I don't understand it. That's okay. Bear with me. They're bringing that type of music into the church. But it was Christian music, but we wanted to make it sound like what's going on out there. But you know what we're doing now? We're just bringing the stuff from out there in here. A lot of churches now, they'll take a secular song that has nothing to do with God, and if you know the words and if you look at it, it's like this is actually anti-God, and they'll bring it in because they'll pull a truth from it for their message. I found a really good place to find truth for messages. It's called the Bible. And music is not for that. Music is for God. And when we're singing it to God, we're honoring him for what he's done in our life, and we're encouraging ourselves.
Amen.
It's not just because more people will come in. And that didn't go over very well either, so let's move on.
Amen.
Number four, let's reject accusations. Samuel calls him on the carpet, verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. And then he gives some false narrative to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. But the rest we utterly destroyed. Isn't that what we do? But come on, it starts early in life.
Yeah.
Hey, why'd you do that? They. The people. Who are you blaming? And listen to me for, I'm trying to help you because sometimes young people, they have a rough upbringing or something doesn't go right in their life and it's tragic and it's sad and all of that. And I get all of that. And what they do, they allow that to navigate their decisions in life and they'll blame it back on what happened earlier in their life, but they're the ones that pay the consequence.
Yeah.
Pastor, you don't understand. This bad situation happened and I was just upset and I'll show them. You're the only one getting hurt.
Yep.
Don't make, and I wish everybody had a Christian family. I wish everybody can grow up with the blessings of God in church since they were newborns and all of those things. But it doesn't happen. Didn't happen in my life. But let's not compound things that are in our life that may be negative by blaming and accusing that and allowing it to make bad decisions in our life. Amen. Because that's on us. Be very careful about this. And I know, you say, some of you come from tougher situations than others. Some of you had to overcome more than others. But can I just say this? With Christ, you can overcome everything. Don't fall into the accusations. Well, this is why I'm not serving God, because of this situation in my life. This thing happened to me. That happened. Don't do that, because you're the one who pays.
Right.
Next, reject what I call pragmatism. Verse 19, Saul's calling him out. Samuel's calling him out. Wherefore then that thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but this fly upon the spoil, profit, stuff that's good for me. Pragmatism is when we make decisions based on how it will benefit me and my life and my desires. Do you understand the difference there? Pragmatism is the results justify the means. And let me just tell you this, most of the results you're trying to get are temporary and they're not right in the first place.
Yep.
Well, if I get this, I'll get that person I wanted. I'll compromise. You may get them, but you may not want them. Well, if I get this and I compromise a little at work and I disobey a little at work, I might get that promotion. Did you honor God? Is it about promotion or is it about being a godly Christian? And you can just take what it is. And so we base what we do on what we think that it will provide for us, not on what God has said. And that's always a losing battle. It's always a losing proposition. Let me hurry. Reject excuses. And again, it's the same thing as accusations. Saul says in verse 20, and Saul said unto him, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And then verse 21, but the people took of the land. See, here's the problem with excuses. They're a tool that Satan uses to keep us from admitting guilt.
Right.
That's it. Can I just tell you something? This whole message is rejecting rebellion. But there'll be times when we do wrong. How many of you haven't done wrong in the last year? Okay? You haven't sinned in the last year. Come on now, all of us have. So what do you do with it? What do you do with it? See, when we start blaming others, it's not my fault. But you know what God wants? Here's what God wants. That's your fault. And when we say, you know what, Lord, it is your fault, you know what we do? We come to him, we confess it, we forsake it, we give victory, and we move on. And that's what's wrong with blaming.
Yep.
That's what's wrong with accusations. It keeps us from the solution.
Yep.
The solution is, you know what he should have said? I did it, okay. I was wrong. I wanted the king because it's kind of like in my back pocket, I'm the big guy here. I wanted the sheep because, you know, prosperity. I wanted to reward my guys. And it was wrong. Now, I don't know what God would have done in that instance. Maybe he still would have lost it. But you know what? Is his answer a lot different than David's? Hey, David, this guy stole the lamb and did all this. And David said, that guy, he should restore fourfold. And Nathan said, I'm not talking about a guy. I'm talking, you're the man. What did David say? I've sinned. You're absolutely right. So the problem isn't, you know, will we never sin, which we should sin as little as we can. The problem is, what are you going to do with it when you do? You're going to say, you know what? That was out of character. That was wrong. That wasn't godly. That wasn't Christian. Let me get this right.
Amen.
You do something at work, and maybe the boss calls you out. Just say, you know what? You're right. But that's not how we go. What's the point? The point is, rebellion is not a Christian virtue by any stretch of the imagination. So what do we got to do? We got to avoid it. You have to reject all of these things that will push us to not do what God wants. And if we do, step out occasionally, let's get back in line. That's what God wants. Because the only person who lost in this scenario, Saul. his sons, his family. You look at what happened. In that battle where Saul died, his sons died. What happens later on down the line? All of his family starts getting picked off. Why? He set a bad example. Yeah. He paid the ultimate price.
Amen.
And we're the only ones. It may seem in the short end, hey, I'm gaining. But you're not. You're losing. Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute, please. I don't think we have a church of rebels this morning. I really don't. But I think if we're not careful, we can get there. See, what happens is when we start to rebel, when we start to have small areas of our life where, and we don't get them right, we do all these different things, now it starts to mushroom. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. And we're going to get to that place where he is. Instead of just dealing with it up front. Rebellion is not a Christian virtue. Maybe you're here this morning. This was not the message, but it needs to be said. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You're not 100% for sure if you die to go to heaven. That's how you confirm whether or not you're Christian. Do you know 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? And you know the reason. All of us have that point in our life where we didn't. With nobody looking around, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're saying, you know, Pastor, that is me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray with me? With nobody looking around, would you just quickly put your hand up and then put it down so I can see it? You don't want to leave without it. Let's stand together, if we may. Is this creeping into your life? Is there some type of disobedience that's starting to creep in? Or maybe you're starting to make excuses about some things or getting a little bit confused? That's what this altar is for. Why don't you come as the piano plays?